Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 18th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here again.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this program, ICMH also has several other educational programs, such as metaphysicsinstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in many fields. Now, as always, we're going to begin this evening's broadcast with our abbreviated nine principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And always a great start to a conversation to go through those principles of belief. And I'm really excited about tonight's discussion, too.
Well, we are going to have quite the discussion. At least I think so. It's a discussion I love to have. we're going to talk about tips on how you can develop your intuition. But the first thing we have to do is really decipher what that is. And that's, to me, the most intriguing part that we could address. So to get us started, Michael, do you mind if I just dive in?
Oh, absolutely. I was counting on
it. All right. Well, I think that my use of words like intuition are a little bit different. To me, intuition is in that unexplainable category. But most of the time, what we're developing is our sensory perception, not intuition at all. Sensory perception and energy, like what we have naturally, is explainable. And it's scientific. Physics can determine that. And that's where I kind of like to begin. So to me, auto-sensory perception, which is what my late teacher coined that phrase, is when I was in my early hypnosis training back in the 70s. And basically, we all have that pineal gland, that, you know, third eye, that other thing that allows us to sense our environment. So when we get a vibe off of someone or a room, there's actually, a sensible explanation for that. It's not as mysterious as a lot of people might think. It kind of takes the wind out of everybody's sails. So, I'm really, sensitive and I'm really intuitive. But really what you are is perceptive. And I kind of coin it from one end of the spectrum to the other. Some people don't have particularly sensitive social skills. You know, like at the checkout counter when somebody's trying to push you through, like you're going to get through faster, they don't have a spatial kind of how somebody else could feel. We could say that's empathy, but again, they're not detecting space and energy versus all the way to the other end of the spectrum where mentalists, people who are really sensitive to energy where they can even detect that you're going to perspire before you do. Which is fascinating in and of itself. So if we think about the animal kingdom where they get vibes or they're very intuitive, we talk a lot of times about how sensitive animals are and how they just know things. Well, humans have that also. We just get a feeling in our sphere, so to speak. So it's I can feel somebody looking at me when from behind me. You know, people have had it. You're on a bus or you're in a public space and you can feel somebody staring at you. That's not intuition. That's your autosensory perception. Now, that can be triggered in any number of ways with people. Some of us have stronger visual, audio, touch, any of those kinds of things. So we're going to feel different kinds of activations in however we tend to work. So everybody has their own individual processing. So you're going to have strengths and weaknesses there. So we'll talk about that in a second. When it comes to intuition, it's the unexplainable. I really believe that science is fast catching up, especially in quantum physics, where one day we might just be able to explain it. But for now, it's still in that vague category of how did I know that? How do you know something that's outside of your space and it's not a logical explanation? How do I know about something that's going to happen tomorrow? How do I know about something that's happening to somebody 1,000 miles away? Now, we could talk quantum entanglement. We could talk, you know, space-time frequencies, that there is no time and space. But for now, let's just say it's outside the our general way of thinking. So things like, how did I know then that something was going on with one of my kids today? I just had a feeling. Or how did I know that there's, you know, something going on with a friend? Again, those, and some people, of course, like myself, become readers. How do we know in the timeline what's coming a year from now? Or generally speaking, what the possibilities are. So I'm going to clarify that as we get discussing this too. So it's how then do we know that? So the question, in a simple answer for me, is that if we're all spiritually and universally connected, we can develop that. Everybody has it. Everybody has some level of sensory perception, autosensory perception, and every one of us has a sort of psychic, intuitive experience. Everybody has it. Are you awake to it? For some people, it can be as simple as, oh, I had a dream. Now, dreams are subjective, and I'm sure Freud and a lot of psychologists would have something to say about them. But there is something to be said about prophetic dreams or intuitive dreams. Some people are really strong that way, where they get information in their unconscious mind. So the subconscious unconscious is filtering information into the conscious mind, but it comes through dream time. It can come also, I call them flashes. If you're going through your day and you suddenly have a thought out of nowhere, well, no reason for me to have that thought. So it's like a download, a conscious download of some kind of psychic information. And again, no logical explanation for it, except that it is connected in the universe. Now, what do we do with that is going to be the ultimate question. Sometimes nothing. It's about expanding the soul. I believe that. Expanding your spirit. So if I get information about other people, this is kind of a tricky one because a lot of people say, why else do I get that information? I should tell them. Well, the law of non-interference and they didn't ask you. So that's that. However, I do believe that there's this fine line where when it comes to people in our inner circle, where we can say, I had a bit of an intuition. Can I share that with you? I'm not sure how it'll manifest. And with respect, ask. Like with my kids, I say, I don't know. I got a little feeling about this. Can I share it with you? And if they're receptive. Of course, with me and my kids, we have a pretty good trust thing going. So they know I do not interfere with their lives. I have no sense to, you know what I mean, step over a line of giving unsolicited advice, as Dr. Kelly would say. It's a matter of, I think that's how we help each other. Just like if somebody's going to step off a curb into traffic, I'm going to naturally reach out, pull their arm back and say, you nearly got hit there. So it's that kind of thing where I think we can help each other out. But again, with respect, each of us is having what I believe spiritual awakenings all the time that opens us to more of our intuitive universal senses. So it's for us to observe that and then continue to grow it. If it's growing your spirit, otherwise, why would you need it? We don't need to know everything out there. We only need to know what's in here, if that makes sense. Now, if you're a reader and or a spiritual counselor and you have a sense about things and somebody's coming to you, that's a whole different ballgame. I'm talking about things in daily life. So at this point, Michael, if you have any questions, we're dividing this into kind of two sides. One is auto-sensory perception and the other is that vague understanding of intuition. Anything you want to inject with right now?
Well, I've been enjoying myself immensely listening to the description of the topic. But, you know, some of the things I've been thinking about, you're talking about, you know, we pick up on things in the moment. And it's an interesting thing. And when I'm listening to the discussion about intuition, I'm really thinking about what I've kind of been learning about the human mind and how we know so far how it works. And it's still very limited. But we do know that we use far more of our minds than we realize. That whole 10% thing is kind of a misnomer. Our minds are always working on the background. Our subconscious is always processing things that our conscious mind was working on. And these are coming through in dreams. A lot of times it's how we kind of process and absorb this information. And I'm also thinking and, you know, listening, and I think this is probably going to bleed into the next segment of our topic, but you know, I couldn't help but think about this subconscious constantly kind of working on things, and perhaps that subconscious part of our minds, I mean, human beings were incredibly social, perhaps we do tap into kind of a network of life, so to speak, and kind of perceive things and pick up on energies and those subtleties that kind of, well, almost like if you could imagine that network being a web, you know, and something a spider's web and something vibrating on it, you can feel the vibration coming through the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thing that is certainly in my early hypnosis training is if you do some kind of hypnotic regression, the mind stores an amazing amount of information that we didn't like totally consciously register at any particular moment. Like you can go back in time and review everything and get the license plate number off a car. Even though I didn't necessarily, as long as the eye had somehow glanced over it, you can push a pause button in a timeline and get that. It takes a really great facilitator to be able to do that with someone. But it's the mind is storing information. Like what color was that clock on the wall? You know, what time was it? At that particular moment, the mind has that information stored, even though it didn't register, because my focus was subjectively somewhere else, you see. So you're right, the brain is always processing information, the unconscious mind, and it's really very fascinating. So much of that auto-sensory perception in the brain is explainable. There's a science to it. And it's a repeatable science, and that's the key. When it comes to the study of psychic phenomenon, It's whether or not something is repeatable. And that's how the tests are done.
Yeah.
So if it's something that you can repeat, generally it's in that psychology department, in that autosensory perception department. So then the other things that aren't there, you know, Dr. Angie wrote in the chat here, and welcome everybody, glad to see so many here. How do you know what that something is? That something that I talked about earlier. That something is a feel, and it's a feel of knowing, and that you know it's right. Now, it's not a want, it's not a desire, it's not a fear. So objectivity is the key, to be as objective as possible. So even though you think you have a feeling, and oh, I knew that was going to happen, we can generally find out in patterning or programming in our minds and our life experiences, well, how we have made things happen, even unconsciously. So knowing something, that intuitive knowing, is a little bit different and really requires that objectivity. But as my late teacher, Frank Appleyard, would say, is we're subjectively objective. And because each of us has our own view of something. So we're still going to be subjective even while we're trying to be objective. The key is to not be emotional or attached to an outcome. So if we're going to work on developing an intuition, and even for that matter an autosensory perception, we have to be as detached in some way as possible. It doesn't mean you're without your humanity or your feelings or your individuality. It just means that you're not attached. But each of us has our own belief systems, so belief systems rule everything, right? That's what I think. Emotions.
Belief itself does.
Sure.
Belief systems just organize that belief into different channels.
So if I want to believe something, if I have been attached to that, then I'm going to process what I see through that belief system. And so the requirement here is to open those belief systems. And really, I think for me, is how I had to get out of my own way is to know that what I know is limited and that I'm opening my mind and I'm okay to be wrong, even though I wasn't wrong in how I saw it before. It's just I'm okay to change my mind today because I'm changing.
Right.
So to not be entirely attached to how I might have defined myself.
Well, I think that's a great point, and talking about those kind of belief systems and how we might need to open up, because ultimately, I mean, any belief system you have, even if it, for the purposes of this argument, let's say you did have some revelation handed down from an almighty being, you're still going off the person to whom it was revealed, their interpretation of that thing, which is malleable. It changes over time. It's based on, you know, it's somebody's idea of a thing. And there are many belief systems with, you know, very shaky underpinnings that are just somebody's idea, which means that you have to go into things with critical thought and also realize that if your belief system is being too restrictive and unhealthy at times, you can free up energy and, you know, emotional energy, mental energy, this perhaps even psychic energy to empower yourself and move into different directions if you're not constrained by these, intellectual blocks, so to speak.
I'm completely with you on that. How we can alter ourselves to be able to open up to development and developing. So what are the tips then to developing our intuitive abilities? That's number one, Michael. Totally number one is, I know I've said this on the program as an example before, but I'll say it again because it's a beautiful one, is I told a friend of mine that I'd seen a spirit one day. This woman in blue came and visited me, and she said, "Oh, you saw the Virgin Mary." Mm-hmm. Now, my brain didn't have a process for the Virgin Mary, but that was her immediate response in a belief system. Do you see? So how we're interpreting that, I was just thinking it's really cool that this lady happened to be dressed in blue and came in, and I didn't even get to finish my story of what it was about. She was just so pumped about the Virgin Mary. And so, you see, so that will limit our ability to continue to develop and grow if we're stuck in a frame.
Well, and you'll have you're stuck in a frame. You have a bias towards a certain pre-written narrative. When the strength of an idea should enable it to stand on its own, you shouldn't have to restrict these things. You shouldn't have to, it's very common in certain belief systems that are very restrictive to ban any exposure to the outside belief system. Anything about that is unhealthy. It's dangerous. It could, it could taint the entire group. And if that's possible, then how weak is that belief system?
Yeah, I know. However, we get that cognitive dissonance that's going. So this is where I think that the more we grow and open up to possible belief systems, other potential realities, then we can begin to look at what we're seeing. This goes even so far as I walk into a room, I get a really bad vibe. Ooh, it's a really bad vibe. But in my unconscious mind is a belief system that the room is blue, a certain shade of blue, and I had a really bad experience in a blue room when I was 9. Do you see? Now, that's in my unconscious programming. It's in my file. I suddenly catch this glimpse of blue. I get this bad feeling. If I see how I'm programmed and I acknowledge that and that vibe goes away, now I'm open to seeing what's really in the room. Now, what are my feelings really about this room? What's my sensory perception? You see? Mm-hmm. So once we acknowledge, and I'm afraid it's really kind of backward. We have to, when, as you're an adult, you look at your programming to see what needs to be altered and corrected. And like not as a child so much, but we're framed by our life experiences. That's all there. And if we don't acknowledge it, then it's going to play a part in how we walk in life. So if I know that blue rooms disturb me, I can walk in a blue room. Oh, it happened before. Is this a blue room? There's a guy over there. He looks just like my ex-husband. Oh, I've got a bad vibe about this room. So we have to acknowledge the things that inhibit our abilities to have a good sense. So even a behavior, a mannerism of somebody can be an irritant that distracts us from reading or gauging an environment correctly.
Yeah. a funny one. When I was a kid, I watched that, it's a classic movie, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Ghost spirits, what have you. Well, in the movie, one of the running themes is anytime you're about to see, Haley Joel Osment is about to see a ghost, the color red is prominently displayed. And that's a theme that's running throughout. And I kind of picked up on it watching it, and then I was reading some interview or listening to something, and that was actually something purposeful they did. Anytime a ghost was about to appear, red would be prominent, and then you would see the ghost. And whenever that keeps popping up in my mind for some reason. And sometimes, if I'm, it's a little dark, it's whatever, the color red is prominent, for me right there for a minute, and I think, what if I'm about to see a ghost? And it's been 15, 20 years since I've seen that movie. Why is it that, it's been a little bit, but why isn't it occasionally that still pops in my mind and I think, I wonder if I'll see a ghost.
Exactly. But, something that had a real big impression on you.
Yeah, as a kid, it was just something that I picked up. But that's what I mean by, especially if reading intuition wrong. You had the feeling about the Blue Room, which admittedly was a bit deeper than, you know, my, you know, somewhat kind of tongue-in-cheek references to the Red Room. But
but it's true. It's all relevant.
Well, it's exactly. It's how we see the world. And the dangers of reading your intuition incorrectly. Maybe what you're feeling might not be what you think it is at first. Because you're getting an energy, and then your mind is trying to put that energy from the abstract realm that, you know, exists into kind of primitive verbal language in a sense, in a way.
Okay. Sorry, my mute button was crazy there for a moment. So I totally agree, Michael, that it's a matter of deprogramming ourselves from those kinds of things. But first we have to recognize them and say, I have to, you know, usually when you recognize something, it doesn't have the impact on you anymore. It has a lesser impact the next time you see it. Then you can kind of look around and say, okay, red, no spirits, okay. That's just my old trickery, you know, that old thing. This is an interesting thing. I told somebody a few years ago that we were driving down an old country road, and I did a shiver. And she said, what? And I said, no, it's all right. Because it was an instant reaction. I didn't mean to physically react. But she said, well, you felt something. I said, yeah, there's a body over there. Oh, should we go get it? And I said, oh, no, no, no. And she said, well, but if you know that, I said, it was a vibe. No, I'm not going to. I don't want to. It happens sometimes where I know things. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know is that so much being intuitive or psychic. And this is what I wonder about. And in the development of my own, you know, abilities or spiritual awakening, I think I could have been picking up on an anomalous energy, and that would be autosensory perception. It's like driving down a road and the energy just changed. Mm-hmm. I think that there could very well be, in the law of physics, an explanation that maybe the New Age movement wouldn't be so happy with, you know. But I'm okay with that because I like the study of it that, you know, makes me self-observe.
Right.
And that it makes me observe the world around. So, go ahead.
You know, it's just about the pursuit of truth and the truth of reality. And, you know, there's enough credible and relevant evidence out there to say that obviously we know there's something more than what we can just see and feel in the material. And I hope that one day we look at things like this with the same eye that perhaps, you know, maybe it'll be 1,000 years from now, maybe it'll be longer, but maybe one day we'll have advanced enough to truly understand what and if there is this link to really the global consciousness, to something bigger, to the wider universe, this extrasensory thing, that it is understood as a science in the same way that we understand things now that were, you know, relatively myth and legend in the past.
I think we've come a long way, and that's not unrealistic what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we have too, and I just think it's just a matter of time. It's about, because all these things that are, you know, magic and mysterious, they're simply things we don't understand fully yet. Once we understand them, it just becomes really mundane if you get to understand it well enough.
Normal.
Yes.
A new normal.
Absolutely.
See, I think as a reader, when it comes to being intuitive, when I tune into somebody, generally things are fragmented. You don't get the whole story like a movie, but you'll get clips, or I do. And I can see a storyline. Now, quantum physics could have an explanation for that, cause and effect. Mm-hmm. If there is no time, space, and we know about past lives, and we can know about future lives, if our consciousness knows about yesterday, it can also know about tomorrow. And so it's like tuning into that single frequency. of, oh, there's the life. And that's how I've kind of started to understand it in a way in these, you know, last couple of decades. I don't, in my world, it's not so extraordinary anymore. I do have to be really objective. And that's why I don't, the older I get, the easier it is, even with my family, about kind of knowing how things will unfold, but knowing when not to open my mouth. Because everybody has the right to their own choices. So the whole point, though, of kind of getting an insight to this moment and how things might play out is to know that we have choices, because there are many variables. So it's like somebody, you know, produces a movie and it's got five different endings, right? Or a few little scenes where things change some of the outcomes. That's, to me, life, and we're creating that. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be fatalistic in any regard, because one thought, one decision, even the knowing of the possibility, alters your frequency. So it's knowing a little bit, and again, it's that knowing, it's just kind of absolute. I don't know how else to explain that. When I'm reading for somebody, I just see it. I know it. How that manifests and how somebody will participate with that, I can't predict that. I can have my suspicion, but that's based on knowing human behavior. So if... Oh. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and I can tell you from... Well, from my perspective, I can't speak because I don't have that same level of... Well, I don't have the same type of intuition that that you have, certainly, because I don't have strong, you know, premonitions like that in any kind of way. But, so I can't truly empathize, well, I can't truly understand what it's like to have that, but I can attest to the fact that there have been some eerily accurate predictions, and there's one that, well, I'm not going to get into specific detail because I don't know that we have the time, but there was one prediction that you had made once that super accurate. It was eerie at the time.
Mm, that I made?
Yeah, back in the day. I don't even know if you remember what to talk about.
No.
But, yeah, it's just those kind of moments. And, you know, other little things, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'll be thinking about a friend and then they'll call, or vice versa. I'll be you know, calling somebody and say, hey, we were just thinking about yours, you know, something like that. Ah, are they saying it to be nice? Maybe. But I can tell you for my part, I've definitely had it. And but all things like that happen all the time. Just these strange little coincidences keep popping up between human beings. Is it so far out of bounds to think that there might be some deeper connection there that we just don't understand yet?
Exactly.
And it's as simple as that.
I am right in line with that, Michael. There's so many things that you said it earlier. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's a mystery. We just don't know it yet. And I don't think it's unreasonable to think that there's already some scientific explanations. And Dr. Jeff just said we could spend days on this topic. Make no mistake, I can. I think Dr. Jeff knows that too. We've had some side conversations on our own. But it's everybody. Here's the point to leave you with on this subject. We're going to get on to drawing some cards because time is just like flying by here. Is the more you know yourself, observe the patterns, the more you know yourself, you deprogram yourself from belief systems, and like just observe, how do I feel? Was that a fear-based feeling? Was that a hopeful feeling? Or is that just something else? Intuition, like things you can't explain, observe what you felt at that moment. But here's the final key I want to leave you with, is how does that feeling then demonstrate itself into life? Now, Dr. Angie's been talking in the chat how she gets feelings about animals, and she can tune into illness and she can talk to them. Well, how is that then going to demonstrate itself into life, especially as she was talking about interacting with vets? You have to build some trust relationships if you want to say I had a psychic flash, but and a trust thing about can you check this out? So it's knowing that people, all people are operating to the best of their ability with what they have. Maybe some people could work a little harder, no question about that. Some people are tuned out and don't care to. We have to appreciate that too. But how will that then, how can we interpret or translate how these intuitive feelings will manifest and come? Now, that comes with life experience, I believe. And again, just that practice of understanding human behavior. Because if you don't kind of keep in touch with the world and what's going on, you're not going to know how to frame what, you know, what you're feeling. Because it's kind of a mystery until we know how it acts. Mm-hmm. So cause and effect of the human condition, if you will. So let's get on with selecting cards, shall we? Thank you for the conversation, by the way. I love it. I love all the activity in the chat room.
It's been a good one tonight. I mean, great topic to discuss. We've had a lively chat, and it's, you know, some truly personal stories, and it's always, it's, I think, hopefully cathartic to share, and it's beneficial to those that they can understand, you know, something else like that. But
do you want to start off? You know, let's do this evening if we have time for it, Michael. Let's do one card and then a supporting energy. We've done that before. How about that this evening? So if you want to draw two cards for Dr. Edward, the message and the supporting energy.
I'd be happy to. All right. And first I have number 38, open-mindedness. And to go along with these cards, I have a convenient guidebook that is somewhere. It is right here. Open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. And what a great card to go with tonight's discussion. And the supporting energy to that, go from the middle here, is number 28. Do no harm, do right. Kind of one of the core principle, the number one principle. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Good message. Good messaging there for Dr. Edwards. If that relates to you, it resonates with you at some level. Remember that it doesn't have to be about something large sometimes when these cards come up for a message. It can be a subtle thing that you're working on too, or something that was on your mind. Dr. Jeff, I have communication as your primary message. But wild card number 4, the unknowable, is your supporting card. This is going to be interesting. So number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. But as your supporting energy, unknowable, number 4 in the wild card suit, there are mysteries in the universe. Mm-hmm. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. Were we talking about that tonight or what? The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. And you know what comes to mind with these two, Jeff, is to ask questions. A good communicator can ask questions. And when you ask questions, even that you hadn't thought of before because it popped in your intuition or your, you know, in your psyche, it opens to the unknowable. You get more. That's kind of what came to me in that as a primary and supporting energy. So I hope that helps. Wendy is up next, Michael.
And for Wendy, I pulled first number 7, self-mastery. And I'm going to be fancy this time and say them both. And as the supporting card, number 43, expediency.
Interesting.
To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness. And the supporting card, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
I think that's a good reminder in some ways, and however you relate to that, Wendy, it resonates with me.
Yeah. Well, sure. And expediency and really taking charge, doing what you should do when you should do it, is really a big part of self-mastery. It's discipline.
They're both,
you know, almost two sides of the same coin.
Michael Garcia, thanks for joining us this evening. I have two here for you. First one being number 22, think for yourself. And the supporting one is open-mindedness. And Michael, you drew that one a few minutes ago. So we got some quantum entanglement going on here.
What was the first one again? I'm sorry.
Think for yourself, number 22. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by others, by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. Now, the supporting energy to that, Michael, is open-mindedness, which is number 38. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. I think that really does go in line with our discussion this evening about, you know, that objectivity, knowing who you are. And the message here is how easy it is to be influenced by other people and their belief systems and their interpretations. And a good reminder for me, too. What does come to mind, for instance, is when people say to me, oh, the universe did that. No, the universe didn't do that. People did that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that thinking for yourself, like it took a long time for me to have this fight with myself about okay, I hear what everybody else is saying, but that doesn't feel right. You know, so that deductive reasoning, that putting it together. So, Michael's just said, so needed to hear that. Thank you. It really is about knowing who we are and following that, like peel back the layers of some of today's jargon. And there's a lot of that going around. So think for yourself, right? And don't be afraid to do that. That's how you get to expand your spirit and know who you are. So I think as I could read this, I could be mistaken. Dr. Angie wanted a card also.
I believe she does. But I do believe you just pulled for Mr. Michael Garcia, correct?
Yes, I did.
I believe we have Dr. Matt next. And I think Dr. Angie did want a card too.
Oh, okay. Cards. Cool. Dr. Matt, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm trying to. There's a lot going on in the chat, and my brain is multitasking, and I'm writing, so I didn't mean to miss you, Matt. So sorry about that.
I mean, she has to do the actual thinking. That gives me time to sift through and write this stuff down. But
that's
will
awesome.
But I will say this: I actually was going to pull a card out of the middle, and two kind of came out at the same time.
Oh, good.
And they're both wild cards, and I. You know, just for, you know, sweeps weeks for ratings, I couldn't ask for more than just two wild cards. But the first one that I pulled was blank. Wild card number 9, blank.
Ooh, Dr. Matt, listen up. This is you.
And then the supporting energy to that one is wild card number 5, don't hate.
Oh, you're kidding. This is good. I want to say, Dr. Matt just finished grading his paper on advanced intuitive counseling, which he killed it. It just great work. He's done an awesome job and gone back for more courses at Thomas Francis University, as we know, a sister school to IMHS. So that's, in my view, a wonderful thing. Those are great cards for Dr. Matt.
All right, so first off, we're going to talk about number 9, blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be, it is what you need it to be, and it is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind, talked about that earlier, unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. All right. And now we're going to look at wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result of this is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships within families or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to self and others.
Wow, that's awesome stuff. Obviously, Dr. Matson, some changes and, you know, we all need those little reminders, too, all in those layers. You might be a little surprised or not. The synchronicity here this evening is notable. Dr. Angie, I pulled self-mastery number 7 for you. And we're back in the wild card suit with blocks number 3. I don't recall us ever pulling so many in the wild cards.
That's true, actually.
In one evening, so this is pretty crazy. Self-mastery, to know who you are and why you are who you are, is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. And we know you're doing that, but in light of the conversation tonight, too, you know, you're talking to vets, you're talking to other people about your work. Be who you are. Blocks. So this might shed some light. There's a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Don't dismay. Blockages serve purposes, and diligence and insight is required. Remain open. So sometimes we just have to navigate our way through. That's, I think, all that that's saying to you. So those are awesome, awesome affirmations. So yeah. I don't see any other names here. Do you, Michael? Did I catch anybody?
I don't think we missed anybody. I'm taking another quick look because it has been a great discussion in chat tonight.
Yeah.
And whenever we have great discussions in chat, the possibility that we might miss somebody increases, but it's worth it. And I know I think that's just about everybody tonight. So, well, I guess
that's
it's
a
that
wrap.
Time. I know. It's well,
thank you
it's
so
gone
much,
by.
Everybody. I know it did went by really, really quickly tonight. Thanks to everybody this evening. It's great. Glad to see you all here too.
Yeah. No. And it's thank you so much for joining us in the live recording of this broadcast, because this chat really does add something to it. It adds that energy to it and adds to the discussion. We can, you know. Lay off that and add ideas to it. You know, one thing, and I don't remember exactly what it was you were talking about at the moment that made me think of this, but when's the last time we had a good discussion about the concept of time in real depth and how it applies to different aspects of reality and life?
Ooh, you just nailed it. Our conversation for next week.
All right, yeah.
I like that.
Feels right, so.
We'll find a good header for it, but we'll talk about time.
All right.
I actually appreciate that, and I got some. My brain's going already. We'll talk about it next week.
That's going to be a great conversation. So hopefully you all can join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. See you next week.